from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Prime Time. Week 0 is in the rearview mirror for college football, but that means the real action starts this week with a bona fide Week 1, plenty of good matchups. And a guy we like to have on the show plenty, whether it is basketball, football, but especially at the beginning of football season, the great Dave Bartu is with us. How are you, Dave?
Dude, the great? Come on, man. Come on. But I will tell you, I am so high on life right now. This is like the biggest professional week of my career this week. So I am pretty jacked up. I appreciate you guys having me on, though, right here in your backyard from Forest Grove.
Does anything change with the expanded playoffs for you? Or, I guess we don't officially know yet how the selection committee, but I guess in your opinion, because you've always been adamant that the committee does the same thing. It's very predictable. You know what to make of it. And the rest of it is just kind of BS and fluff that they put out for PR. Do you think anything changes with the expanded playoffs, or is it just committee as usual?
Well, right now it's committee as usual, right? I mean, number one, we were promised transparency, and they gave us the ranking rules. And then everybody forgot about the ranking rules and complained that we weren't getting transparency. All we got is what you just said. The narrative constantly changed. Different chairman, different way of telling a story, different way of trying to appease people. But look, nobody wants to hear that if they were on the committee, the outcome would still be the same. Right? Nobody wants to hear there is no eye test. Nobody wants to hear the people on the committee don't have the ability to do X and O's, just like 99% of the people listening right now don't have the ability to do X's and O's. I can't do X's and O's. And if you and I were on the committee, guess what? Rankings would all be the same. You follow the rules. This isn't a committee that gets to make up their rules. They just implement the rules that were given to them. Now, up until this point, we haven't heard that those rules are changing. Right. So strength of schedule is still the last thing they're going to consider. It doesn't matter if an SEC team is 9-3, 10-2 ACC is probably getting in over them, you know. So but what it does tell us, though, and I think when I was driving the other day, I heard you talking about, hey, 10-2 doesn't automatically get you in. I think that was that last week or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it was yeah. last week. Yeah, yeah. We were saying that when I've looked through, I went back and I looked at like the last like 7 or 8 years. And to me, when I looked at it, 3 losses basically eliminates you. I don't.
Oh
think,
yeah, you're toast. Actually, I went back and I looked at all 10 years, final regular season 12 throughout COVID year.
Yeah,
because that doesn't count, yeah. Right? Even though the rankings, they still held rank and file. So 9 years. And so 9-3, if you were a Power 5 team, now Power 4, remember, all we did is lose 2 teams, Oregon State and Washington State. Everybody else still has the same conference schedule. Yeah. Different teams, same number of games. Okay. So 9-3, there was 36 instances of 9-3 Power 5 in the last 9 years. 3 made the top 12.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
3. Right. And that was all one season. I think it was 2018, and a bunch of wonky stuff happened. And it was like 2 SEC teams or an SEC team and a couple Big Tens or whatever it was. But 3 out of 36. Those are your odds.
So essentially a third loss should eliminate
anything. And by the way, we don't even – and that being number 12 doesn't guarantee you anything because a group of five has to get in and they may not be a top 12 team.
Right. Well, what I actually – I even went more in depth. I went the final 11 and then added in that tier 3 team, right? Your Memphis. You add in that Cincinnati. Now, when Cincinnati was number 4, then I added in that 12th team.
Yeah.
Right, but really, you're trying to get top 11. But 9-3, absolutely no guarantee. I can unequivocally say, Big 12 9-3, ACC 9-3, you're not getting in.
Yeah.
Okay. If it comes down to all else being equal, strength of schedule matters. You don't hold the candle to those other two conferences, especially the SEC. So
this is where you texted me something when we were talking about that, because as I made the argument, and I'll be interested to because I trust Dave through and through. I learned years ago when Dave called the Wisconsin Oregon State game. I was at that point. I was like, and we didn't know Dave from Adam. I was like, I'm not going against this guy.
Dude, that was the first time I was in studio, and I'm like, here's why Oregon State's going to beat Wisconsin, and you looked at me like Bart II is an idiot. Get this guy out of my studio.
After that, I was like, dude, I'm listening to this guy. But so
right, and so everybody needs to stick around for as long as you guys have me on, because we're going upset alert today.
All right,
we're going upset alert now. Now back to the playoffs.
Yeah,
and I know what you were talking about too is your preseason ranking. Let's put a pin in that right now. Let's focus on what it takes to get in the playoffs.
Yeah,
10-3, 8 times a 10-3 team missed the top 11.
Hmm.
8 times. 10-2. I thought in my mind, right, I think all of us would go, 10-2, you're a lot. No, 6 times. So 1.5 teams per year for the last 9 years, 1.5 a year, missed the top 11. So it's far from guaranteed. Mm. Now, one of the cool things that may happen, and this would be the really, you want to talk about blowing things up, is the 10-2 team that is top 11 going into the championship game that is outside the top 11 after they lose.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
That happens.
We've seen it. It punishes you for playing a championship game.
It does. It happened 5 times. So every other year, a team that entered 10-2 left 10-3 and would have missed the playoffs. Mm. Oh, man, you want to talk about crying and gnashing of teeth?
Yeah.
Woo! That's going to be juicy. I only hope it comes to fruition earlier than later.
Yeah, that always bums me out when a team basically kind of guarantees their spot for not being in their conference title game, and then the team going into that conference game has to play another game against usually a top 10 to 12 team, and it just seems like that is the definition of being ass backwards, that you're punished for having a better regular season and then having to play an extra game against a really good team. I hate that.
Well, yeah, and so you physically get beat up, then you get beat up in the rankings, right? And then if you actually end up in the playoffs, now you've played an extra game more than the 10-2 guys.
Yeah.
Completely, utterly imbalanced, in my opinion. You know, but, you know, to get rid of the championship game, we get rid of the paycheck, so we can't do that, obviously.
Yeah.
So 10-2 doesn't ensure it either. And then everybody, you know, 11, 12, 13 wins, obviously, those are all in. Okay, you're gonna make it. But 9-3 is you're out. You are playing for at least 10 wins, and God forbid you are in the hands of the committee, because ultimately you just want to win that title and not be one of the teams that they have to pass judgment on.
So I mean, essentially, we've talked about, like, into this new era, maybe we can get more aggressive scheduling because you can. It's not a downside if you lose a game. But essentially, if you want to, it's even an easier scheme, or it's an easier system to scheme now, because if you're one of these teams, let's take Oregon for example. You know, you don't play anyone in the non conference schedule, and there's only real 3 teams that physically are on par with you, and you can lose 2 of those, and you're basically guaranteed to be in.
Exactly. So why schedule tougher, right? Yeah. Why make it tougher? And now to win a national title, you have to play. You have to play 16, 17 games. Why would you schedule tough and beat yourself up in September? If anything, this says schedule easier, right?
Yep.
Stay healthy, because look, you're going to get tough games if you make the playoffs. Yeah. I mean, you think about it. If you make a conference championship game, then have to go play essentially 3 top 10 teams. That's there's nothing easy about that at all. So why there's no incentive to schedule hard. Strength of schedule has no correlation between the quality of team. It's a BS number. It's crap. It doesn't mean anything at all, and the committee regards it least of all. It is the lowest number on the totem pole when it comes down to using it for the rankings. So why chase that? That's why I said if you're going to be a wild card team, make it 66% or make weight it based on the quality of your non-conference games. Oh, you went 4-0 against really four tough, really tough teams. Cool, you're in.
Is that kind of more what the NCAA tournament committee does?
Right. But see, they get to play 32, 34 games, 36 right. games. You know, there's a lot more room for error. When you only play 12, man, yeah. there's no room for error. And the injuries are so much more catastrophic at college football versus college basketball level. So I see people trying to compare that all the time. And it's just like, you know, it's not even apples to oranges. I mean, it's golf balls and pickup trucks. It's just you can't do it.
You really, I mean, it's true. Like, you've taken away any incentive whatsoever to schedule outside of your non-conference, especially now if you're in one of the two big conferences, the SEC and the Big Ten, where you know it's going to be a bit of a meat grinder and you're going to get two or three of those top 12 teams anyways. It really does behoove you to schedule the Idahos of the world.
Yet the SEC, dude, I can't wait for the SEC to go to 2026 to win 9 conference games. Oh my God. These fans, the
will they have
the
to?
Of, huh?
Will they have to go to 9?
No, they've already announced they're going to
They're doing it. Yeah. Okay.
They are doing it. 2026. I mean, all these fans that are like, oh, you got to play tough to be the best, right? I'm like, you know, being 5-7, Arkansas is a good year. It's not anything to be joyous about.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be bad. I've already run the numbers. If you took the easiest game on every SEC team's schedule today and threw it out for Vanderbilt, okay? Vanderbilt's the worst recruiter in the SEC, and they're 37th in the country in high school over the last 4 years, okay? You throw in Vanderbilt, the SEC this year, by my numbers, and again, I told you, strength of schedule models are all crap, even mine. But by mine, the SEC would have 15 of the top 16 strength of schedules this year. They are going to kill themselves over their money they're trying to derive by going to 9 games.
Yeah, and it's the kind of thing, too, I feel like for a long time that's kind of been their ace in the hole, in that they can schedule in the middle of their season that extra bye week, an extra win, essentially – avoid the risk of having to take another loss against a pretty tough conference anyways. But
I do want to ask you real quick, because I want to go back, because we put a pin in that, but I want to go back, because I was you know, spitballing the other day, and because preseason rankings usually don't mean anything. I firmly believe that. But in a case of if you're sitting there trying to sort through, let's say, you know, four or five 10-2 teams, or maybe even two or three 9-3 teams for that 12 mm-hmm. spot. I made the argument that preseason bias, you take a team like Oregon versus, let's take Oregon versus Washington this year. One's not ranked, one is ranked very, very high. I would make the argument that being an Oregon team, and if you lose early on as a highly ranked team, especially against its quality teams, we always have a tendency to bounce you back. Whereas if you're a team like Washington and you're not ranked in the top 25 and you lose those, you can get buried behind. I would think that a two-loss Oregon team, even if they lose to the exact same teams, just from a committee standpoint, I just think it would behoove you, when you're talking about the difference between 10, 11, 12, 13, to be higher ranked. We always treat higher ranked teams better when it comes to losses. Or am I out in left field again? And again, like you said, it doesn't matter. It's only the rules at the end of the year.
Yeah, to me, it doesn't matter. We've never been able to show a correlation between preseason rankings and what the playoff committee does.
Yeah.
Nothing, right? I mean, we could rank Portland State, Portland, Idaho, and Idaho State 1, 2, 3, 4 right now. Guess what? By November, they're going to be gone, and it's going to be sorted out. And if you watch the AP Top 25, the coaches poll Top 25, everybody's focused on it right now because there's nothing else to talk about.
Yeah.
There's talking points, right? So you can't get rid of it because it takes away a narrative. But watch all of their rankings shift immediately with the first playoff committee. You'll see it the very next week. Everybody moves over to whatever the playoff committee said. So I don't believe any preseason has any impact whatsoever on the actual playoff committee rankings. It's It's seven variables. They put them out there. How else do you rank all these teams in 24 hours? Instantly, right? Because there's no eye test. There's no time to watch games. You know, this is big corporate, big business stuff. You have to just check boxes and get it done quickly for the TV show. There's no time to sit there and go through all these extra things to get it done. So I believe, and I can't prove it, I believe you're wrong when it says preseason rankings matter. I believe that we could just do away with them entirely, but what else would we have to talk and bitch about?
Yeah, I just wondered with the, because I agree with you when you're dealing with four, but I just kind of thought there, you know, when you're dealing with 10, 11, 12, and look, there'll be some years where I think this gets sorted out because, you know, that there's a big line of demarcation there. But if I've got 5-10-2 teams and I've got 5-9-3 teams, I don't know. I just, in my mind, and we'll see how this plays out over the years, I just think that having that early season idea in your head that you were supposed to be good may help you out versus a team that's lost a couple that never was highly ranked.
And maybe that is, right? Maybe what we do is if you guys want to have me back on the day or two before the first playoff, the last playoff committee rankings,
see that.
I'll give you the mathematical 1 through 12.
Yeah, because you'll know.
Right? I'll just say, here's my 1 through 12 by the math, and we'll see if they deviate.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because we hit 1 through 4 every single year. Right, in a row.
Yep.
Right? And so now all of a sudden, if that suddenly deviates and there's teams all over the place, then they've changed without telling us.
But no evidence of it right now. Yeah, they followed the rules. Even though the talking heads will sit there and tell you that they don't, you've cut through that a million times.
Yeah, they're so full of crap.
Yeah.
I mean, they really are. But what else are you going to do? Because, like I said, the fans don't want to hear. This takes actually 15 minutes, and anybody can do it. Just toe the line and be a committee member.
Talking to Dave Bartu of the College Football Matrix. You can follow him on X at CFB Matrix. And one of the great things that Dave does over at the College Football Matrix is he tracks all kinds of measurable things from coach effect to personnel across the country. Coming up next, I want to ask Dave about which teams have seen the biggest losses and gains, especially as we've seen so much movement in the transfer portal and the coaching landscape. We'll get to that next, but first, Will has a SportsCenter update.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Prime Time. Talking to Dave Bartu of the College Football Matrix. And Dave says so many things that spark something that, like, I want to ask about that. This year specifically, you mentioned something when we were talking in the last segment about how much injuries can be a crusher in college football. And it feels like, especially now with the new playoff format and the fact that you're going to have to win 2 or 3 games to take down the crown, that health and that depth is going to be more important than ever. We've also seen more transfer and more player movement than ever. I know these are things that the college football matrix tracks, as well as the coaching effect and the coaches that are in new spots. What has your data told you, Dave, about just from a on-paper roster and coaching makeup standpoint, who's taken a big jump going into this season and who may have taken a step back?
Well, you know, from a talent standpoint, I really don't believe you're jumping in talent year over year. It's a 3-4 year process.
Sure.
Right. You know, and now unless you can drop $2.5-3 million on a elite quarterback that can walk in and win football games for you, you know, like a Gabriel, mm-hmm. like a Ward, the numbers haven't shown that the portal means anything, you know, because ultimately your best recruiters are still going to get the best players in the portal.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you know, you don't expect Washington State and Oregon State to get, you know, top 10 portal classes. You know, so why would it really be any different? And if you look at last year, the best high school recruiter over the last 4 years won 73% of all the football games, 133 teams, 73%, highest number this century, were won by the better high school recruiter. So I'm not seeing the correlation across football. For the transfer portal, but you want to talk about programs that have made significant talent moves, Power Four, over the last 4 years. Now, two of them won't surprise you because guess what? They're moving from little boy football to big boy football. BYU, number one. Average recruiting class over the last 4 years, 22.7, five spots better than their previous 4 years. Yeah. UCF, 14 spots better. In between those two, at number two, you got Missouri. You know, one of the big reasons for Missouri making the moves that they have last year and predicted to do so well this year, their coaching staff is really good, their schedule is highly favorable, and their talent profile has gone from mid-30s to top 20. That's a real big reason for Missouri. Texas Tech, same thing. They have moved their needle recruiting as well. And you kind of go down the list, some of these other teams that you see here, Kansas State has made big changes. Mississippi has made big changes. And I know there's probably a lot of Duck fans. What have the Ducks done in the last 4 years? They are 15th in Power Four recruiting improvement. Their average class is 5.5 spots better each of the last 4 years than the previous 4 years. So, you know, Oregon's not anywhere near the top of that list, but they've made significant strides. And then right around Oregon, you got Miami and Notre Dame. So I guess there's three teams in the top 15 right there.
Does Oregon fit the profile of a championship team from a talent standpoint?
Yeah. They're 1 of 5.
Yeah.
They're only 1 of 5.
Oh, 5.
You know, there's only 5 contenders. If you look at everything, every national championship contender in the most very basic numbers, okay, 23 out of 25 are top 10 recruiters. Check, right? We're talking the number 5 recruiter coming into the season. So you have the talent, which is the most important thing. Do you have the coaching staff, right? Do you have 3.5 star or better OCs and DCs? Yes, you do. They're very young. They have a very high ceiling. We really don't know exactly how good they could be, but Oregon has the staffing to be able to do it. Were they good last year? 25 of the last 25 national champions were top 25 in scoring efficiency the year before. 25 of 25. You don't win without being good first. So Oregon has that as well. And then the last thing, are you top 20 in ease of schedule? Oregon's ease of schedule is number 4. The schedule they have is an absolute gift. And there are only 4 other teams in college football that have the talent, that have the coaching, that have the previous year performance, and a top 20 ease of schedule by my numbers, right? And that is 23 of their last 25 champions. The only 2 to win it that didn't have the talent box checked last year, Michigan, number 13 with an NFL quarterback. Clemson, number 13 recruiter with an NFL quarterback. So if you're not in the top 10, you better have a first-round NFL quarterback and a hell of a good head coach.
Yeah. So who are the other 4? I'm assuming like
Georgia.
Georgia, yeah.
Right? Georgia, obviously. They have the talent. They have the coaching. They have the previous year performance. Top 20 ease of schedule. Ohio State.
Okay.
You know, and Oregon or Ohio State may end up playing 3 times. Yeah. It'd be unbelievable.
That's wild.
They have all the pieces. Texas has all the pieces of the puzzle. And I'm trying to – nobody in the Big 12, I mean, they don't even have a top 25 recruiter. No. So they're all out. and I don't think anybody from the ACC was contending. They're all out.
Like a Bama or the other one.
And it's not Alabama. I know a lot of people go, well, it's Alabama, but Kalen announced that Nick Sheridan is calling the plays. Well, Nick Sheridan's called plays for 2 years, and in our grading system, he is bottom 40% offensive coordinator in college football. He's had two really bad years. Now, if it was Kalen calling the plays, absolutely, right? Now, he's still overseeing it, but that doesn't mean the same thing. So, you know, until I see Kalen DeBoer calling the plays, I say Alabama's out because their coaching isn't good enough. I think that's it.
Yeah, because that's only four, so there's going to be one more. Is it Notre Dame, LSU maybe?
It might. No, it's not LSU because their scoring efficiency was crap last year. Remember, they had the 97th defensive scoring efficiency. Yeah. They lost their four-star offensive coordinator and their Heisman Trophy winner and replaced him with a no-name OC. Mm. So LSU certainly has the talent, but they didn't have the performance last year. I think you would have to call LSU more of a 2026 contender if this year is good. Mm. Michigan's out. Right, their coaching staff is, you know, by our numbers, bottom 30 in the country, and they lost everybody, and then they lost their entire offense. So I don't believe in Michigan at all. It would probably be another SEC team, but it's for
Ole Miss?
Whatever reason, it's not popping in my head right now.
Is it harder to now under this system? Is it harder to win a national title than it's ever been, or is it easier?
I think it's tougher to have a dynasty. Right. So I don't believe you can compare Nick Saban, anybody today, to Nick Saban, what he did. Maybe somebody does figure out how to do it. But every time you play a game, your odds of winning or losing, I should say, catch up to you. It's really hard to win over and over and over and over and over and not have a hiccup, especially when you're dealing with 18 to 22 year olds. You're dealing with depth issues. I think the transfer portal doesn't add to your overall talent, but I think it hurts your depth, both physically and psychologically. Guys that are already checked out that are looking to go somewhere else for a bigger paycheck because they're not playing enough. So I think it's more difficult, but I also think at the same time, it condenses the number of really serious contenders to people that can stay healthy the entire time.
Yeah, Kirby said something. I saw an interview with him about a week ago, Kirby Smart, where he said that. He said the biggest thing for him is the depth. He goes, I know everyone thinks, you know, oh, Georgia, but he brought up the fact that in this current model, depth is an issue. Because you're relying on way more young guys that are unproven to be depth as opposed to guys that maybe were hanging around.
Exactly. And every time you snap the ball, you're one more play from your quarterback going down, right? And we've all seen it. We saw Florida State season end on one play as Duck fans, you know. Heck, I still have PTSD from Dixon, you know. So, you know, every time you go out there and Suke, you play this game, you know, Ryan, you have, man, you just don't know what's in store. You know, your season might be over in the blink of an eye. And, you know, now that we're adding four more games, I think Kirby's 100% right. It's all about attrition and health.
I do remember the year that Oregon played Ohio State in the national title game, and that was back when we just, you know, you had the conference title and then, the couple extra games. And I remember just after the game, both of those teams, winners and losers, being on the ground and just being exhausted. I remember both sides, you know, guys in the locker room talking about just happy it was over and the exhaustion. And now you crank that up by an extra three games. You know, it's going to be interesting down the stretch. It is 100% going to be a battle of attrition at this point. Guaranteed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. And that's why, again, we go back to stack September as easy as you can. I think the SEC is crazy for going to 9 conference games. Get everybody into the playoffs and let it rip.
Well, Dave, before we let you go here, and we appreciate you hanging with us for a couple segments, but I want you to look into your crystal ball here. Is Dave Bartu playing any college football futures? Who do you like to take it all down this year? And then additionally, the second one for you before you get out, what do you eyeball in week one?
Okay. Well, football futures, it wouldn't be me if I wasn't negative on somebody, right?
No.
So I will take UCLA under any number but zero. it opened at like 7.5. It's already down to 5.5. I still think there's tremendous value in UCLA.
Okay.
They've lost their talent. That coaching staff stinks. I think Michigan's going to be under. I don't think Michigan's going to be a top 25 team. I said last week, Florida State's not going to be a top 25 team. at the end of the season. I think Oklahoma is going to win 6 or 7 games. They will not be a top 25 team. Another one that's under is Colorado. I mean, I maybe it's just me being a nasty guy, but I think Colorado's on the precipice. If they lose this first game, they're going to lose all 12.
Ooh, I mean, that's tasty.
Coaching staff is worse in every area. They hired Pat Shurmur, and if anybody knows Pat Shurmur, they know NFL, right? He is our fifth worst graded offensive coordinator in our system because we also do staffing for NFL clubs too. Pat Shurmur is the fifth worst offensive coordinator in the NFL this century.
Whoa.
Yeah.
He is trash. Right? I mean, if they win a football game, everybody donates their game check to Shadur. Because that's it. You don't win with transfers in the NFL. You don't win with free agents. This is a really, really poor coaching staff in a conference that is highly, highly coached. So I'm not buying Colorado as well.
And then how about week one, Dave? I know you said you thought there might be
some upset alert.
Okay.
So what I'm looking for in September, because nobody really knows what's going on, right? This is a really good time to take advantage of lines. So there's one game. There's two games I'm looking at. They have the same profile. The home team is a big dog. The home team has out-recruited their opponent over the last 4 years. The home team has a better graded coaching staff in my numbers. Okay. The first one, and we're going back to betting the jet and the bug on this baby, right?
Yes, I love
these. So the first one, Vanderbilt at home against Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech's coaching staff is bottom 25 in the country. Vanderbilt's out recruited him. Vanderbilt 37, Virginia Tech 42. Vanderbilt catching minus 13. At least take the points, at the very least. But I'm circling upset alert. The loser of that game, Clark Lee or Brett Pry, is getting fired in December.
Oh,
we got a hot seat game in week one, baby. I'm calling it now. Loser gets a steak knife.
I'm brick,
buddy.
I love when Dave gives me an upset alert of 13.5, and it involves Vanderbilt. Let's go.
Yeah.
God, right? College football is here.
The Oregon State-Wisconsin game, it just gives your smart pants all tingly. The other one, down in the Bay Area, better coaching staff, better talent, catching 10 points at home in front of 23 people that will attend the football game. Welcome to the ACC, Stanford TCU.
Okay.
We're not going light on the upset alerts here. We're going all in. So if you lose any money, it's not my fault, but I just like both of these games.
Yeah, seriously. I'm looking at the line now. Stanford, a 9-point dog right now, it looks like. They're a plus 265 on the money line, if you like it.
That plus 265, that doesn't feel like a lot of value for minus 9. But check out the line. I think it was 9.5, so that line might be coming down. So if you're in a place where you can bet it, I really think Vanderbilt, because Vanderbilt turned two things over this year. They turned over their offensive coordinator, totally upgraded that. Clark Lee's taking back defensive play caller. And I'm telling you, Virginia Tech, I just feel they're massively overrated. Their recruiting is bad. Their coaching staff is bad. And I think this is really, really ripe for one of the big, I don't even know who's playing, upsets of the weekend.
I love it. I love
Vandy plus 390 on the money line. That's tasty.
I don't know if I've
juicy, baby.
I don't know if I've ever bet on Vanderbilt in my life, and that's about to change in this next break. Bovada, here I come.
Oh God. I saw that one and I'm like, who the hell bets on Vanderbilt? Yeah. Seriously.
We do now.
Right? We do now. That's who we're going on this journey together. That's what we're doing.
Oh yeah. So next time I come on, I'll have to come up. I was just thinking about like a big suit, you know, game of the week, the most obscure bet I could come up with that nobody's going to watch the football game unless they got money on it.
And that's the reason why you gamble, is that you can pay attention to Vanderbilt, football, because there's no other reason. But I'll be paying attention to it this weekend. And if that one cashes, we got a beverage. We got a scotch on me, Dave.
Oh, dude, I'm driving down, and I'll try to go 9 hot dogs and 9 beers. Live in studio, baby. Let's go.
That sounds like a wonderful opportunity. Dave Bartu of the College Football Matrix. You can follow him on X at CFB Matrix. Always appreciate the time. Be sure to check out his Patreon. Tons of good data there about the upcoming football season. Dave, we'll look forward to talking to you soon.
Love you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Coming up next, college football conundrum of sorts. There are celebrities on a plane. They're all from the world of college football except for one. You get to pick where you want to sit. That's coming up on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.